Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 32. This is the reading of God's word. And he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to the father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pots of that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. But when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and he will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him, and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf. Kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. Now his elder son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, and because he has received him back safe and sound. But he became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began pleading with him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you, and I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live and was lost and has been found. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We ask that you would bless us, that we may truly hear your word and our faith will grow. And we will be more like your Son, Jesus Christ, every single day. And Father, bless the preaching of your word. This word will be preached correctly, and all of us will not only hear, but also believe and obey to bring glory and honor to you. Oh, Father, through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see the wonderful reality of heaven that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished for us. Let us give you all the glory and thanksgiving. We ask that you will receive all the glory. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We have looked at chapter 15, verse 1 through 10 last time. And we have said that verse 3 is very important. Luke chapter 15, verse 3. Then Jesus told them this parable. Jesus told them. Who are them? Well, immediate context tells us that they are Pharisees and the scribes. But also, the word them includes the sinners and the tax collectors of verse 1. And obviously, Jesus is speaking also to you, to me, to us today. It says, Jesus told them this parable. This parable. Singular. A parable. And yet, Luke chapter 15 has three parables. What's the point? We have to look at these three parables as one parable. But because of time shortage, we only saw the first two parables last time. First, the parable of the lost lamb. The second, the parable of the lost coin. Now today, we will look at the third parable, which is from verse 11 through 32. It is one of the most famous parables in the Bible. Even non-Christians know about this parable. Commonly called the parable of the prodigal son. As we will see, that title is not that good one. Yes, the parable contains the story of the prodigal son, but the parable is much more than just the story of the prodigal son, the younger son. And we have to mention that this parable is loved by the liberal theologians and liberal pastors. Some of them don't even believe that the Bible is the Word of God. Why do they like this parable? Well, this parable has the father figure receiving the sinners. But it does not have what we call the substitutionary atonement that our Lord Jesus Christ has accomplished. No need of the payment for our sins. These people say that all the sinners have to do is remorse. Repent of their wrongdoings and come back to God, and God will forgive their sins and receive them. That's their message. There's no need for Jesus dying on the cross. No, you just regret what you've done. You come back to God and God will forgive you. Isn't that what the parable is about? They will say. And the Father does not even go out to seek the sinner. All he does is just waiting. Wait for the sinners to change his or her ways and come back. That's the true picture of God, they will say. See, salvation without the cross. Oh, they would love to teach that. It's all about you. Just, if you could just change your mind and come back, and God will receive you. But that's not the gospel. See, they like this because no story of God becoming a man to seek the sinners. But you cannot look at this parable out of the context of the whole Bible, or the context of the chapter 15 even. There is no passage of the Bible that would contain all the truth of the Bible. Thus, whatever passage you look at, you need to understand that passage in the context of the whole Bible. Luke chapter 15 is, just like the rest of the Luke, the story of Jesus Christ, how He came to accomplish the kingdom of God. It is all about what Jesus Christ is doing, and because of it, what is being accomplished. And we cannot understand any part of the book of Luke out of context of the whole book. Now we already saw how all three parables in Luke 15 are, in the first place, Jesus' word to the Pharisees and the scribes. And we have to understand the third parable, which we're looking at today, together with the first two parables that come before. Because Bible says all three parables are one single parable. And the first two parables were all about the joy of the person who has found what he or she has lost. In the first two parables, the person who has lost something either went out to seek it or within the house seeking what was lost until it is found. The conclusion of two parables were found in verses 7 and 10. I tell you that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. In the same way, verse 10, I tell you there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So just because in the third parable of the prodigal son, it has no story of the father going out to seek the lost son, we cannot conclude that God does not go out to seek the sinners, because first two parables told us already that He does go out and seek. We must understand any portion of the Bible in the context of the whole Bible. You cannot just take out one verse and say, and completely ignore the context and teach something that is not what the Bible is teaching. Well, let's look at the parable. Verse 11. And he said, a man had two sons. So here in this verse, we have three characters. The father and his two sons. The first section of the parable is about the father and the second, the younger son. Now, it is not difficult to know that the father in the parable points to our God the Father. Now, verse 12, the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he, meaning father, divided his wealth between those two sons. The younger son wanted the father to give his share of the estate. Now, ordinarily, this happens when the father dies. The first son receives twice as much as the other sons. But here in the parable, the younger son asks his portion even when the father is still living. But father somehow agrees with him and does what his son asks him to do. Verse 13 and 14, and not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. It says, not long after, the younger son, he just wastes all of his estate with loose living or in wild living. The word that is translated as squandered, it means that he has thrown all his wealth to the wind. And there was a severe famine which made his situation worse. You could kind of picture his situation. He was in great need. Verse 15, so he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. Because his situation was so dire, he was seeking a job and got a job feeding the pigs. As you already know, that pigs were very unclean, unclean animal. We're not talking about unclean in a, you know, the physical dirty sense, but spiritually it's unclean in the Old Testament. So think about this. To a Jew, feeding the pigs was indeed so disgraceful and pitiful. It just doesn't happen. How pitiful was his situation? Verse 16, and he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. Bible does not say he ate the food that the pigs were eating. You know, some children's Bible will have it like that. But Bible never says he ate that. But it does say he longed to do so, but no one gave him anything. Now, at this pitiful situation, as he suffers, we could see there is a change in his heart. And we see this all the time. The suffering is blessing from God. Obviously, without grace that he pours out, suffering will do more harm because you will curse God. But with blessing, with grace, suffering is blessing from God. And here, same thing happens. There's a change of his heart. Now we know that this was by the grace of God. Verse 17, but when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread, but I am dying here with hunger? He realizes that his situation became worse than his father's hired men. So he started to think to go back to his father. Verse 18 and 19, I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. As you could see, we see the beginning of the true repentance. Verse 20 and 21, so he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The younger son says, I have sinned against heaven, meaning I have sinned against God, and I have sinned against you, Father. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He understands the state in which he was fallen into. And about that state later, the father said he was dead. He was lost. But we could see from our passage, he is resurrected. Not only he repents, but we get hints in our passage. Verse 18, I will get up. Verse 20, so he got up. These verses point to the reality of his resurrection. And as he comes back to his Father, he is no longer selfish. He just entrusts himself to the mercy of the Father. That's all he's focused on. He's not trying to make any excuses, just entrust himself to the mercy of the Father. This younger son truly comes to the low place that we saw in previous chapters. As Father sees his son coming to him with that attitude, the Father runs to him even when the son was still a long way off. The Father felt compassion for his son. Luke chapter 7, verse 13, when the Lord saw her, he felt compassion for her and said to her, do not weep. We saw that story. Luke chapter 10, verse 33, but a Samaritan who was on a journey came upon him, and when he saw him, he felt compassion. All point to our God the Father who pours out his compassion toward the sinners who come to him repenting of their sins. The Father runs to him and embraces him and kisses him. And then we read verse 22 and 23. But the Father said to his slaves, quickly bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf, kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. You could see the younger son is fully restored by the Father. Verse 24, for this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. And they began to celebrate. The joy of the Father who has found the son whom he has lost. Just like the joy of the man who has found the sheep which was lost, and the joy of the woman who has found the coin which was lost. All point to the joy of our God the Father whenever a sinner repents and comes back to him. And this is the reality of the joy of heaven and its celebration. Wonderful story. But you need to see here clearly that the parable of the prodigal son does not end here. It continues. Many, many verses, in fact. So let me read to you verse 25 to 27. Now his older son, he was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard music and dancing. And he summoned one of the servants and began inquiring what these things could be. He said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, and because he has received him back safe and sound. And verse 28, but he became angry, the older son, and was not willing to go in. The younger son, younger brother, has repented and has come back. And because of it, the father rejoices, but the elder brother is angry and refused to join in on the celebration. We saw the same picture from the Pharisees and the scribes in verse 2. But like we said before, this parable is told first to them, the Pharisees and the scribes. When they saw Jesus receiving sinners, they were angry. The younger brother who was far away, but now participates in the banquet. But the elder brother who was near does not even come into the banquet. Do you see the complete reversal? This is what Jesus does. Put this world upside down. The father who ran out to younger son now goes out to older son. Luke chapter 15 verse 28, and his father came out and began pleading with him. Do you see it then? In this parable, there are two lost sons. Not just one, but two. Do you remember the first parable? It was about going out far to seek the lost sheep. How about second parable? It was about seeking the lost coin in the house. The younger son, the prodigal son who was lost far away. The elder son, the son who was lost in the house. He never left, and yet he was also lost. The elder son says to the father, verse 29 and 30, but he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I have been serving you and I have never neglected a command of yours. And yet you have never given me a young goat so that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitute, you kill the fattened calf for him. Elder son is angry at the father. Because father was rejoicing, the son has came back. And yet, this older son was so angry. He is angry at his brother, but more so at his father. Oh yeah, he stayed home, but pretending to obey the father, pretending to live a moral life, because he never knew what was in the heart of the father. He never really loved his father. Thus, he does not even call his father, father, in this passage. And he does not call his brother, brother. Verse 29, for so many years I have been serving you. NIV has it more correctly. All these years I've been slaving for you. Do you see it? Older son understands his life with the father as a life of a slave. He said so himself. It wasn't serving the father, it was just living like a slave. Even when he obeyed the father's commands, he did it as a slave trying to get something out of the father. Like so many Christians today, they would do things they know their father has said in the Bible, but their motivation is to get something out of him. And if father does not give, then I've been slaving for you for so many years and you don't give me anything. For so many years I have been serving you. And I have never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me, not even a young goat. See, his focus was always on what he could get out of from the father. It wasn't never out of love for father, but see, he wanted something. As far as he's concerned, father has never given him anything. In verse 30, the older brother says, but when this son of yours came, not my brother, but this son of yours, That's how he says it. Not once he calls his father, father, just like the younger brother who has excommunicated himself out of the family by wanting his estate even before father's death. Here, the elder son excommunicates himself out of the family by not calling his brother, and not calling his father. What's the difference? If your understanding is that only the younger brother is bad one, then you're not getting it. Even older brother refused to be a member of the family. You have never given me a young goat for this young son of yours, who has devoured your wealth with prostitute, you kill the fattened calf for him. The elder son, look at him. He cannot rejoice with the father for the return of the younger son, the sinner. He cannot accept the father who rejoices. Oh, he hates that father. Why is he rejoicing? The elder son, as far as he's concerned, he did not do anything wrong. Thus, he does not repent. There's no repentance because he believes he did not do anything wrong. He did not even go out to find his brother. He did not know that finding the lost son was the joy of his father. He never knew. Now I want to ask you and me, do you know what brings joy to our father? You who claim that you are always with him. Do you know what is in his heart? This older brother, even though he was always with the father, he never knew what would bring pleasure to his father. That's why he never went out to find the younger brother. Just like too many Christians today, do you go out and seek the lost? Because Bible clearly teaches us that those sinners that you go out to seek, if they come back with repentance, God will rejoice. But no, maybe all your focus is about what God could give you. It's never about how can I please my father, but how can my father please me? This older brother, he does not participate in the joy of the father when his brother came back. Oh, brothers and sisters in Christ, do you see ourselves in this elder son? If a prostitute comes to our church, how will you react? Will you say, what is her kind doing here? Look at her. How can she come to church when she lives such a life? Is that going to be your response? Are we misunderstanding? Thinking that we are the 99 righteous who do not need repentance. Yes, the younger son lived a truly sinful life. That is the truth. But no matter how sinful life one has lived, If he or she repents and comes to God, our gracious God will always welcome him or her. But those who think that they have lived a righteous life just cannot accept the Father who accepts the sinners who repent. Oh, because they're way better than those sinners. Are we mistaken? The congregation like OPC, it's so easy for us to sin just like the older brother. Brothers and sisters, listen carefully. We must repent of our righteous acts. Let me explain. We must repent of sin of thinking that we have lived the obedient life because we never left God. God has clearly said that there is no one righteous, not even one, which means that there is no one who obeys God perfectly, not even one, not even you. And just because you don't live loose life or wild life out there, that you might think that you don't need to repent of your sinful life because you never left the Father. You are always in the church. Is that what you think? We need to repent of our obedient life, so-called obedient life, because you never obeyed it perfectly. Nobody has. You and I are the sinners just like the prodigal son, and we must repent of our sins just like him. But we must also need to realize that we might be the elder son who has been lost in the house. That even we're always with the Father, we never know what is in Father's heart, that what would actually bring pleasure to him. Do you seek to please him? And if you don't, then you are the elder son. So what if you are always with the Father? You don't care what pleases him. Like elder son, he doesn't go out and look for his brother. Meaning that he never understood the Father's heart. What would bring joy to him? Finding the younger brother. What are you thinking that would bring joy to our Father? Will you get better grades? Oh, then Father is so joyous. Or you make more money? What do you think that will bring pleasure to our Father? Better university? Better job? We need to wake up. Because this elder brother, he never knew he was lost. Are we lost? Even when we say that we obey God, so many times that we are far away from the heart of our Father. Even in those things that you think you're obeying, as you obey, and yet You are so far away from the heart of our Father. Do we do what is in the heart of our Father? Do we rejoice with the Father when the sinners repent and return to the Father? Now the father corrects the elder son, verse 31 and 32. And he said to him, "Son, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to celebrate and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live, and was lost and has been found." He calls the elder brother son, meaning my child. This brother of yours, he's making a statement there. The returned prodigal son is your brother. He was dead, but now he is alive. He was lost and has been found. So we had to celebrate and rejoice. Look at, he said, we had to. Literally, it was necessary that we rejoice and celebrate. It is necessary to celebrate and rejoice whenever a sinner repents and returns to the Father. Jesus is saying to the sinners and the tax collectors to do the same as the young son, meaning repent and come back to God. But Jesus is also saying to the Pharisees and the scribes to repent and participate in the joy of our God. And he is telling all of us to do all. Do you see it? In our parable, we see exactly what is happening as Jesus comes to accomplish the kingdom of God. Now, I want to end this, and this is really important. So listen, 10 minutes. Brothers and sisters in Christ, if we see the Father in our parable as God the Father, there's two sons, the elder son and the younger son. But, looking at the whole Bible, we have to realize that we have another elder brother, the true elder brother. Even though he does not come out in our parable, the true elder son, the true elder brother, who knew, who knows the Father's heart very well, and doing the will of the Father is his food. And he did not leave us alone when we forsook our Father and left him and lived a sinful life. To please the Father, our true elder brother came to us. Came to the low place where we were. Came as a man, even though he is God. Came to this sinful world. Came all the way to the cross to seek us, the sinners. To save us. To make us to return to the Father. This elder brother, this true elder brother of ours. He lived a righteous life for us and he paid the penalty of our sins in full. He died the eternal death of hell for us. And on the cross, because he was bearing our sins, he could not even call his Father, Father. But he cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? The The Father who made us repent of our sins. The Father who made us return to Him. The same Father who received us fully. Who received us rejoicing. That same Father has rejected His true Son, the true elder Son. Our true elder brother, Jesus Christ, who bore our sins and died on that cross for us, so that He could welcome you as His sons. Do you understand the gospel? You are the recipients of their love, this Father and this true elder Son. Then, if that is so, what kind of life is necessary for us to live? For God, when you and I, by His grace, repented of sin and came back to Him, it was necessary for God to rejoice and celebrate. And when you see what they, this Son and this Father has done for you, what kind of life do you think is necessary for you to live? What do you think? We must participate in the life of our true elder brother who went out to seek his younger brother, us, who has left the Father. And when we came back to the Father, our true elder brother, Jesus Christ, rejoiced with the Father forever and ever. Brothers and sisters, we must rejoice with Him and with our Heavenly Father whenever our younger brothers and sisters come back to God and repenting of their sins. This is what Christianity is all about. Let us go out and seek the lost, so that our Father will rejoice when they come back repenting of their sins. Amazing grace. I'm so blessed, and so are you. This is what our life is all about. I could truly die. Because I already have more than I could ever think to have. I have my God. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we give you all the glory, honor, and power. We thank you . Let us repent. Let us repent as the younger brother, but also let us repent as the older brother. Only Jesus Christ, our true elder brother, He deserves the celebration of heaven. And yet, Father, we thank you that you have invited us to participate in that celebration. Let us diligently celebrate and rejoice with you. We thank you and we pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.